Welcome to the Voice of Oregon Workers, a monthly podcast from the Oregon AFL-CIO. I'm Tom Chamberlain, president of the Oregon AFL-CIO, and it's my pleasure to introduce our August 2018 episode. This month, we're speaking with two champions of working people. State Representative Rob Nose, who represents parts of South and Northeast Portland, and State Representative Teresa Alonzo Leon, who represents Woodburn. These two elected officials have union backgrounds and really shows us what happens when union members run for office. They're both graduates of the Oregon Labor Candidate School, a program which recruits and trains leaders to run for elected office. When union members run for office, working people win. By having more advocates for working people in the legislature, in city councils, and on school boards, we can pass the laws workers need to get ahead. If you enjoy what you hear today, please subscribe and share this podcast with your friends and family. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Graham Traynor, and I'm incredibly proud to serve as the Chief of Staff of the Oregon AFL-CIO, the statewide Federation of Labor Unions, and we're excited about this month's episode of The Voice of Oregon's Workers, where we will look firsthand at the importance of having elected leaders that are also union members and what that means for working class issues and the issues that affect working people in Oregon. So with us, we've got Representative Teresa Alonzo Leon and Representative Rob Nose from two different districts in different parts of the state, but both are union members, and I'd love to have each of them just introduce themselves and tell us a little bit where they come from. Representative, do you want to go first?
Sure. First of all, Graham, thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity to come and share a little bit about the work that we do at the state capitol. Just in brief, I grew up here in my district. I represent District 22, which is Woodburn through the north part of Salem. But how I got involved as a union, I worked for the state. I was formerly the state GED administrator and became a union member through the SEIU Local 503. And there was an amazing opportunity to become a council member for Woodburn, the town that I live in. And then soon after that, community leaders came up to me, including my state representative, Betty Comp, at the time. She wanted to retire and said, Teresa, I would love for you to step in and take this role. And I saw our legislative body and thought that it needed to be more diverse. So I decided to run for office. And thankfully, people like Representative Rob Nose and a lot of other community members and unions came together to help my campaign and ended up winning my campaign by 11 points. Against an opponent who had 20 plus years more political experience than me. So I attribute all the support and love from our unions and community members and running a grassroots campaign to help me win. Ever since then, continue to work on issues that are really important to our working families.
Great. Thanks, Representative.
So, Graham, thanks again for having me here with the representative. So I represent House District 42, which is inner southeast and a little sliver of northeast Portland. And when I am not serving in the state legislature in Salem, I also work at the Oregon Nurses Association. I've been a labor rep there. It's a staff person for the union, helping the nurses bargain contracts and then enforce their contracts between negotiations since 2004. And Teresa, I don't know if you know this, but I was a 503 union rep, and then I went to 49, so I had 8 years at SEIU before I went to Oregon Nurses Association. And I got into the labor movement a little bit differently than you did, in that when I was a young man, I moved to Oregon to run a student organization called the Oregon Student Association, which is a little bit like a union in some ways, actually. It unites all the student governments at the state universities. And I didn't come from a union background, but in the Capitol, the labor movement was almost always on the same side that we were on, trying to do good things for people in this state. And when it kind of came time for me to stop being a professional student activist, they had power and influence and were doing good things, and that's where I wanted to try to land. So I took some sort of entry-level political jobs, helping different unions that were involved in politics in 1996, and then parlayed that into a labor rep job, and that's how I got into the labor movement. And then I had the opportunity to run a little before you in 2014 when my representative decided to become a county commissioner. And I think I'd always thought about running for office because I'd been exposed to Salem and politics when I was a young man. But what really made it possible for me to actually think about doing it was being one of the first graduates of the Oregon Labor Candidate School.
Oh, that's awesome. Great. I didn't know that you were one of the first participants.
Yes,
in the first class?
I was in the first class.
Yeah.
Wow.
Great. Well, great. Yeah, those are all great introductions to this important conversation, so thank you both. Teresa, you mentioned a little bit about what prompted you to run, but I was hoping that maybe both of you could touch on, what it meant and why being a union member first, and then sort of carrying those values into the legislature in this case, why that was so important. You both touched on kind of, again, what prompted you to run, but like, what was the guiding light that sort of led you to seek elected office and have a voice that was maybe a little unique to some of your colleagues?
All right, I'll go first this time. So I made a deliberate choice to work in the labor movement because I saw the things that they worked on and the power they had in the building, even when it was more of an anti-worker climate in 1993 and 1995 when I was operating there. And, people who belong to unions, and there's more than just Representative Alonzo Leon and I in the Capitol that belong to labor organizations, get collective bargaining and feel the value of it very passionately, and can really explain it to the majority of our coworkers who don't understand it. Because they haven't lived it. It hasn't been their experience. They don't have a contract, or they've always just been salaried, or maybe they're small business people, and they've not experienced the power of workers coming together to stand up for things that they want on their job. And, part of my running was making sure that things that Oregon Nurses Association cared about were going to get lifted up in a meaningful way, because there's really nothing like being there in the room. It's one thing to be pressured by people that you care about or your voters to do something, but it's a whole nother thing to have that lived experience.
Great. Thanks, Representative Nose. How about you, Representative Alonzo Leon? Could you share maybe a little bit more about sort of what it means as a union member to be in elected office? I know we sort of have different roles and priorities that we carry into our work in elected office, but I'd love to hear your perspective as well.
Sure. So I wanted to get back a little bit because my parents were migrant farm workers, and I worked out in the farms with my parents every summer that I can remember. And I want to honor the fact that because of unions, people like my parents were able to have restrooms. You know, even if they were honey buckets, they had restrooms. Before that, a lot of the farm workers didn't have anything. And I want to acknowledge that there's this amazing history that has protected farm workers for a very long time and continue to do that work now, because we still have a lot of farm workers out in the field. And so for me, when I think about policies that we want to pass, I always think about my parents, because they work in nurseries right now, in plant nurseries. And I think about how far we have come in protecting them, and it has everything to do with unions stepping up and protecting them. And so when I became a union member at state level, I saw them as an extended family. We know that oftentimes, and I think about my parents again, and people like my parents, who don't always understand the system, don't always understand worker rights, don't always understand what they can and can't do in respect to get advocacy. And I see unions as kind of that, like I said, extended family who's able to step in and advocate and be able to advise and be able to protect and be able to fight on behalf of folks who are not as knowledgeable about all the rights that they have. And unions are able to educate them and are able to train them and are able to help them better understand, on how to protect themselves. And so for me, when I became a state employee and was able to be part of a union, it just, you know, made me feel really proud because unions have done so much historically to protect workers' rights. And of course, it just made perfect sense that I wanted to continue to do work in that area because we're still not there yet. There's still more work that we need to do to protect workers' rights and working family issues. And so, you know, that's kind of for me why it was so important to be a union member going into the Capitol because I could give a different perspective than other folks who were not and be able to, you know, think about a lot of families in our communities in respect to making sure that they are protected. So those are the reasons why, for me, unions are so important and they continue to be, so important in all of our communities.
Teresa, you just reminded me of something. So when we were voting on the minimum wage increase, the fact that you were there, all right, to remind our colleagues about these issues about farm workers, and the fact that Ramon Ramirez has run a pretty awesome farm worker union in the Woodburn area with Bakun and had a relationship with Senator Courtney and some other folks, that made sure that interests who were trying to get agricultural workers exempted from the minimum wage increase weren't going to be able to do that because labor stood up for agricultural workers. And union members, both from the outside pressuring their senators and being in the inside, made sure that that was not going to happen.
Right. I agree with you. I think unions do an excellent job at making sure that nobody gets left behind. And having folks like you and me, Representative Knows, we get to fight on the inside while our partners fight on the outside.
That's right.
And I think that's such a powerful thing to be able to have.
When you can do both things together, that's when you're going to get the outcome in the Capitol that you want.
That's exactly right.
Great. Those are all really important points, and obviously, the history of the labor movement hasn't always been as progressive as it relates to leaving some workers behind and not others, but I'm really proud to be a part of today's labor movement in Oregon about the priorities that we've made about leaving no workers behind, especially when it comes to the things you're talking about, that especially in the last just couple years, have been really big priorities from the agricultural community to work to chip away worker rights in lots of these conversations we've been having around economic inequality policy. So now, Representative Knows, I think you just mentioned a little bit about this on the inside. Actually, both of you mentioned this. But because, you know, your caucus, House Democrats in Oregon, have become known and sort of recognized as one of the most progressive pro-worker caucuses in the country, which I believe is true.
Representative Williamson believes that too.
I know she does. What have you learned from the inside, that inside perspective that gives you a better understanding or appreciation for that importance of having working not just people that support labor, but actually folks that have kind of lived and breathed the world of work as a union member? What does it mean, and why has it been so important?
So, two observations. One is that leadership and other members of your caucus care about trying to help their peers pass their bills or accomplish their priorities. And so maybe they're not union members or they don't have the same sense of passion around collective bargaining that you have, but they understand that you have something that you want to see done and they want to support you for the most part. So that's one thing. In a way, being in that caucus, and here's my other point, it's like being in a mini bargaining team. And you're bargaining against the other side, you're bargaining against the other chamber, all right? But you develop an esprit de corps, trying to accomplish your goals, like being on a negotiation team. There's a lot of negotiation. And union people, being in the inside, are not offended by that process. They understand how it works, and they are good at making it work to get the outcomes they want.
Great. Representative Lonsley, any thoughts on just sort of what it's meant being on the inside and sort of how it's helped your understanding and appreciation for having working people, folks that have kind of lived and breathed the membership of the union or have a union story in their family, what that's meant?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely underscore what Representative Knows said. I would just add that there is something powerful about having that union background, but also being a legislator of color. you know, we get to add that other component that maybe perhaps wasn't talked about. You know, having come from, like I said, farm worker background, in my own personal family, I'm able to advocate in a way that maybe other legislators weren't able to. So just bringing a different lens, I think, is really important and really powerful. And, you know, fortunately, we both Representative Mills and I, you know, I think for the most part, our colleagues are very receptive and want to work together to help our working families.
Yeah. And I think I'll just say and echo something that I think Rep. Nose said a little bit ago, but you both aren't alone in terms of those that come from a union background. I think we counted up and there's more than a dozen members of the Oregon legislature that actually have some connection to being a union member. I can't remember the exact number.
For sure, Representative Holvey and Representative Doherty had a job similar to mine where they actually worked on the staff of a labor organization. And I feel like every once in a while in caucus meetings, we'll do an icebreaker about who's been a union member. And I feel like more often than not, more people are raising their hands saying they belong to some organization at some point or another.
Yeah, exactly. So Representative Alonzo Leon, you mentioned earlier about, you know, the work is not done. We've still got work to do. There's still important work ahead to make sure that everybody can get a fair shot in Oregon's economy. I'm curious if you could just maybe both share a little bit about, as legislators, how you see some of the most significant challenges facing working Oregonians in today's economy.
Yeah, well, certainly there's still there's still a lot of work to do. One of the biggest, I think, probably bills that that we're working on is the family paid and sick leave. That's just really important to try to figure out. We're trying to work on a bill or work on a language for a bill for 2019, and that I think is going to help protect and benefit a lot of our workers, because as we know, things happen in family. And right now, if somebody was to get sick and you needed to stay home and take care of your child or family member, there's no protection around whether you get to come back to your job or not. And so for me, that's really important. I know that's really important to Representative Mills as well. And I think all of us at some capacity are working around bills that will help our working families, but that's one particular one that I'm working on.
Family leave is so important. It will be amazing if we can bring that into this state. I think the issue that I'd like to touch on is the housing crisis. So many union members, either themselves or maybe members of their family, are struggling to afford a home or pay rent. And, you know, we unfortunately live in an area of the world that has become very expensive in terms of housing, whether you're trying to buy or whether you're renting. And I, you know, our chamber, we passed some very aggressive housing legislation in the 2017 session, and we were not able to get that bill passed in the other chamber. And so maybe with some better senators or some different senators, I hope I can say that and not get too much trouble. Peter Courtney better not be listening to this. We will, you know, we'll have a chance of passing some legislation that makes it, that provides renter protection and gives communities in Oregon a chance to talk about how we might stabilize rents.
Great. Yeah, those are all, I think, you know, really important points. And, you know, I think speaking to the housing crisis and just generally, I think today's economy and the squeeze that working people face, I think there was the article not too long ago stating that a minimum wage worker couldn't afford a one-bedroom apartment in any Oregon county. I think that was the stat.
Sounds right.
Or close to almost every
county.
Not on
their own,
Oregon.
For sure.
And so I think that, you know, the housing crisis, the squeeze, the pressures, don't just affect low-wage workers that maybe don't have a connection to the union movement. They actually affect union members in lots of different settings, lots of different sectors. Making, obviously, more family-friendly policies a reality, like paid family medical leave, I think are really important. So thanks for touching on that. You know, this is, I think, a related question to what we've been talking about, but since you've been elected, what have you learned? I mean, you've become more seasoned legislators, you've been through a couple legislative sessions, but what are the things that you would say you've learned that have helped you be an even better advocate for workers? So the things from the inside or from your experience on the campaign trail and then carrying that into the legislature, what are the things that you might that resonate with you as things that are really valuable to be a better advocate for working people?
Well, one, I think anytime you can get the actual legislator that you are working with to do some of the work to pass the bill, that is critical. It's very difficult for me to pass bills on my own without, you know, we're very fortunate in this state to have a powerful labor movement that helps progressive legislators pass legislation. But at the same time, if your legislator is not helping that effort by talking in caucus, talking to their colleagues, you know, 35 people in a caucus is really not that big. And friendship and a little bit of collegiality and a little bit of gentle arm twisting is super important in those environments. And so that's one thing that I've really learned, which is having friendships and having the ability to lean on your colleagues in a gentle way to get something passed, and then being actually willing to be an advocate in the meeting for the things you want to get done are critical. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Representative?
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. I mean, as a new legislator, I think one of the first things that I had to learn is how to navigate the political system at the Capitol.
Yeah.
That was like, you know, you've got to learn it real fast.
I was so overwhelmed in my first term until about May.
So that was really kind of a, for me, really important because I need to understand framework, right, for me to function well. But one really important thing that I felt really critical and, you know, want to continue to strengthen this area is just the importance of personal stories, how powerful they are.
I totally agree.
So having, you know, me be able to talk about my story or my experiences, but also being able to talk to, and I think this is something that's really, that I want to commend to our union partners who work really well with union members who come in and are prepared to tell me their story. And then I get to relay that story during our committee meetings or be able to talk to our colleagues, as you were mentioning, Representative Lowe. It's really important to talk to our colleagues about the impact of what a bill can do, and having those powerful stories helping you it's just amazing. It just, you know, helps people really understand that if we push for this bill, this is how it'll change people's lives, or on the other end, if we pass this bill, this is how it'll negatively impact people's lives. So I think to me that's something that I learned, and I continue to, you know, as I knock on doors, as I'm campaigning now, I'm, you know, putting these amazing stories in my pocket because I think that they're just pivotal in how we can relay that communication to our colleagues and in committee and on the floor to really help. I think help change minds if that's what we're trying to aim at.
Great. Those are all really important points. Maybe a follow-up question. I'm curious, so you mentioned personal storytelling. I think that's obviously a really important part to help legislators. So from the outside, helping legislators on the inside that are working family champions pass legislation and be a better advocate. Obviously, sort of the broader mobilization on the outside. Are there any other thoughts about how folks in the labor movement or kind of working class advocates, how they can help you be a better advocate as legislators on the inside game? Is there any things besides this
that
you talk about?
Well, so not all of our colleagues have the experience that Representative Alonzo Leon and I have, right? Either they're not union members or maybe that's not their, you know, personal professional journey. And so if most of our colleagues, they actually do care about what their voters think. They want to get reelected. They want to be responsive politicians. And at least to meet a state representative, if a union member listening to this podcast doesn't know who their individual legislator are, I'll tell you, it's not that hard to get a meeting. And as long as you're not going there to yell at them and thump at them, but just explain what you care about and why, I'm telling you, you can have influence just being a personal advocate, just being an individual lobbyist yourself. You don't have to be somebody that's in the building all the time. Just taking the time to get to know your legislator and check in with them once in a while about things you care about goes a long way. We want to be responsive to our constituents, and building a friendship or a relationship with a legislator is not that hard to do, and is pretty valuable to the rest of the labor movement when we're trying to get somebody to vote some way and they don't have a personal experience with the issue.
Yeah. Exactly. So, I can just say I've been, in and around the labor movement for 10, 12 years now in Oregon, and I'm really proud of a lot of the work just of the last couple of years, so I'm sure you both are as well. And I'd love to hear just a quick hit on maybe some of the, like, top one or two proudest accomplishments, both for each of you, Representative Nose having been in the legislature since the 2015 session, right? That was
yes.
The first session.
Yeah.
And Representative Alonzo Leon, 2017 was your first session, right? So you've both been through a couple.
All right.
I'd love to hear your proudest accomplishments.
All right, I'll list two. One would be getting to play an active role in having to pass the minimum wage increase. It was such an important issue, and I can remember moments in caucus where, even as a freshman, I sort of spoke up and tried to get our team to do the right thing, and then being allowed to help carry that bill on the floor in 2016, especially when all the demonstrators and protesters were there. I will never forget that. And then the other one for me, the labor movement supported this, but it's a little bit more personal. When I was a young man working with the Student Association, we didn't have the kind of power that the labor movement has in Oregon, but we did a very good job of registering voters on campus, young people, students to vote, and occasionally were the margin of difference in an election. And then in 2015, I got to speak on the floor about the value of motor voter and why we should make it easier for people to register to vote. And I felt like my political journey got to come full circle from when I was a young man trying to get people to register by vote, by hand, going door to door, dorm by dorm room, on the sidewalk, to having a more systematic approach where people would be automatically registered to vote. It was an amazing experience. That was the first time I spoke on the floor, was for that bill.
Nice. How about you, Representative Alonzo Leon?
Yeah, I have several, but I'll mention a couple. being a legislator for the first time was, for me, just like this amazing dream that got accomplished, and I'm very proud to represent my district. It was able to actually present two bills that were very historic to Oregon, and I think for the most part in the country. One of the first bills that I helped advocate for was House Bill 2864, which was a cultural competency bill.
Oh, yeah.
That actually had universities and community colleges look at themselves as far as what are they doing to help students of color and students in general feel included in and on campus. And that was the first actual bill that I had a debate on, a 2-hour
yes.
debate on the floor.
Did the minority leader grill you? Is that the one that he grilled you on?
That's the one.
Yes, I remember that.
The minority leader grilled me.
You did a great job.
Yeah, for a very long 2 hours. Fortunately, we won, and that became the first bill that I passed. And I want to give credit to former Representative Gallegos, who actually had the initial concept, and then with the Oregon Student Association, we worked to refine the concept and then turned it into a bill. But then I was able to, talk on it and was very proud.
Yeah, you kept your cool. It was good. You did a good job.
Thank you. I think, yes, thank you. I appreciate that, Representative Nose, because I was looking to you and I was looking to other legislators who were my mentors, and, went out there. my team was very supportive. Everybody's very supportive. I had my game face on, and went out there to work really hard, and we did. We were able to win that particular bill on the floor, and became law. The other one that I'm very proud of, that actually other legislators were telling me, maybe Teresa, maybe this is something that you might want to work on in the future. It's a very complicated bill that you want to pass. It might not be the time. But, you know, one of the responses that I often give is, you know, I was elected by members of my community to represent, and I'm here to work. And so I'm going to work, and I'm going to move forward. And that was my immigration policy bill, which protects all Oregonians' information, mm-hmm. and it particularly protected our undocumented families. Because if I were to go to, for example, a school and ask for people's information, the school would now be able to work with the HSA office to create policy, and therefore I was not able just to access information just because I asked it. So that protected the information of all of our residents in Oregon. So that was another one that I had a pretty hefty debate on the floor as well, and we were able to win. So super proud of those two bills. As a newbie, it was intimidating, but at the same time really exciting and gratifying to be able to win.
Great. Thanks so much for those two perfect, great examples of proud accomplishments. Popcorn style, though, I want each of you to say one thing that you've been disappointed that you've not been able to get done yet that sort of is driving a lot of the work moving forward. And really, really quick, we're running out of time. So, Representative Lunds Leon, you want to go first? One of the disappointments? Yeah.
Yeah. House Bill 4005, that's rent stabilization.
Yep.
It was blocked, and I wish that it passed.
Great.
For me, that would have to be taxing large businesses in this state and having them pay their fair share when we need to have schools and healthcare well-funded.
Great. Very succinct. Thank you. So I did want to talk a little bit about the upcoming election cycle. So Representative Lunds Leon, my guess is you're either in between knocking on doors or about ready to knock on doors. So I recognize that there's a lot of stuff happening this November, including your really important re-election campaign. Not that you both aren't running, but really important.
I don't have the same challenging race that she has.
So just quickly, if you could share a little bit about what you're focused on this election cycle. Obviously, there's some pretty ugly ballot measures that we're going to be facing, too. So maybe just quickly just share a little bit about how you're thinking about this election cycle, the things you're excited about, and the things that you're really concerned about to make sure Oregon voters and union members know about.
Absolutely. So I mentioned paid family leave. I also want us to kill Measure 105. That is just an unnecessary work that we have to do that I wish nobody touched, you know. It's the removal of the sanctuary status, which obviously we want to protect, which then will allow me to work on the driver's license bill. That's something that's really important to me. So those are two bills that I want to work on in 2019.
Great.
So for me, it's all about being a Democrat up here in Southeast Portland. So I don't have a very tough race in the November election. I'm trying to help get some good coworkers elected in other parts of the state where those folks encounter Republicans and meet them at the doorstep. So I'm focusing on getting people like Anna Williams in Hood River, getting her elected, or getting Rachel Prusak elected in the Westland Tualatin area. And occasionally I drive down to Woodburn and do a little canvassing with Representative Alonzo Leon as well.
Great. Just a couple final questions. I wanted to wrap this up a little bit with some plugs for, you know, if a union member, a rank and file worker who, maybe has considered running for office or maybe has never considered running for office or getting more involved in politics and policy, if they were just listening and were curious about, you know, based on this conversation, how they might get involved, what would you say to that person? Just a quick bit of advice for somebody that might be interested in sort of maybe taking a similar or related path, maybe not just to the legislature, but any elected office.
Boy.
I would say get trained. I mean, both Representative Nelson and I went through the Oregon Labor Candidate School. That would be an excellent start in trying to get them trained to someday in the near future be able to run for elected seat.
And I would say, along with the training, if you're not involved in a church or a community-based organization or even your union in a meaningful way, I would step up your involvement in that because you're going to need helpers. And the best way to get people to help you is to have friendships with people that are involved in things in the community, whether it's the Democratic Party or your union or a church group or something at your kid's school. Having connections with those kind of organizations, it's what's going to make it a little bit easier for you to run a campaign and get elected.
Great. So we're about out of time now, but do either of you have any final words you want to leave listeners with in terms of getting engaged in your maybe your campaign or a final plug for this election or some words of encouragement?
Well, I'll just start by saying I'm very grateful that the labor movement in this state cares so much about politics, because it means we're able to pass the kind of bills in the legislature that we've been able to do with the Fair Shot agenda. You know, we still have more to do, but it would be a lot worse in this state without the Oregon AFL-CIO and all the other labor organizations in this state that help out. And so I'm very grateful for that, and I hope we'll work very hard to get Governor Brown reelected. She is a strong labor stalwart and champion, and if the other guy gets in there, he'll do nothing but frustrate all the good things that Representative Alonzo Leon and I want to do.
Yep, great. Representative Alonzo Leon?
Yes, I would underscore exactly what Representative Mills said, but my campaign particularly is one of the more challenging ones. And what really helped me win in the first election was just all the people that came out and canvassed for me. So for us, it's important that we make that door contact and talk to people. So if anybody wants to come out and canvass for my campaign, that would be amazing and super helpful and greatly appreciated. And folks can go to my website at www.electalonsoleon.com.
Okay, I'll see you in a couple weeks.
And so will I. So I just wanted to conclude everything today by thanking you both for being here. Obviously, we're really lucky to have both you and many of your colleagues in the Oregon legislature and in elected office that have a background in the labor movement. It makes it a joy to work on policy to improve the lives of working people in Oregon. And I'm excited about the election. I'm excited about the 2019 legislative session and the years to come as we work to make Oregon a place that everyone can prosper. So again, thank you both. And you've been listening to the Voice of Oregon's Workers, the Oregon AFL-CIO's not-so-new podcast. And if you like what you've heard, please share it with your friends and colleagues. Have a great day.